Red Line.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and its weekend program, The Red Line, with me, Andrew Kripko.
And Sergei Sorokin.
Welcome to today's program, and this is what we want to highlight as the news-breaking stories of the week that proved to be extremely tense, dramatic, and controversial. NATO summit in Warsaw is might right. The NATO summit in Poland added more tension to relations with Moscow as the bloc opted for fresh muscle flexing near Russia's borders by deploying additional troops to the Baltic states and Poland in a move seen as NATO's largest reinforcement since the Cold War. Jihad International, a bloody Ramadan. A string of deadly attacks in different parts of the vast Islamic world, from Bangladesh to Iraq and Saudi Arabia, revealed that Daesh has a new global strategy for launching an all-out war on civilians. And also, farewell to Emailgate, welcome to the Oval Office. Democratic presidential hopeful and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton removed a major roadblock on her way to the White House after the FBI recommended that she not be charged over her email scandal, in a move which was followed by a flowing endorsement from President Obama. So let us come to our first section, Beyond the Headlines, to speak about the NATO summit in Warsaw. The NATO summit in Poland added more tension to relations with Moscow, as the bloc opted for fresh muscle flexing near Russia's borders by deploying additional troops to the Baltic states and Poland, in a move seen as NATO's largest reinforcement since the Cold War. The transatlantic organization had been continuously encroaching on Russia's borders since the collapse of the Soviet Union, but the latest moves represent an unprecedented violation of the Russia-NATO Founding Act of 1997, whereby both sides agreed to certain military restrictions in Central and Eastern Europe. All that appears to be thrown out of the window now, after the bloc's provocative deployment, and it remains to be seen what sort of measures Moscow will take in responding to this startling development.
Andrew, I think that NATO is losing sense of reality, and this is very disappointing. This is what we see at the Warsaw Summit. The world is devastated with mega-terrorist acts. And instead of that, what NATO is doing, it is prioritizing alleged Russian threat. Surprising to say the least. At the same time, NATO General Secretary is talking about still relaunching dialogue with Russia. So my question is, how can you close your mouth and then be involved in dialogue? All those muscle flexing you're referring to, the deployment of 4 battalions in Baltic states and Poland, come as the biggest NATO reinforcement since the Cold War. NATO still believes in Russian threat. NATO is putting blind eye on real threats like Daesh, like migrant crisis. Of course, they're talking about that, but it's just talk. And in reality, it turns out that we are dragged in a new Cold War because we have to respond to that. And final thing, what I want to say before we come to a discussion is that what matters this time is not only the decisions which are given stamp of approval by NATO member states, but the place of the meeting, Poland. Probably the most hostile European country to Russia. And you've seen the statements which were made by leading Poland politicians who made themselves clear that they want to use this summit as an attempt to give a new steam to the sanction policy, which, you know, was looking more and more obsolete, which was losing support in Europe. Now, with such, how to say, bad policemen, bad cop like Poland, like Baltic states, they want to keep it on track.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, Sergey, and you really touched on a lot of good points. So we're going to move this discussion to our in-studio guest. So I'd like to bring onto our program Mr. Gleb Ivashintsev. He is a member of the Russia International Affairs Council and Russia's former ambassador to Myanmar and South Korea. Hello, Mr. Ivashintsev. How are you today?
Hello.
You know, so Sergey touched on an excellent point. I mean, when you think about the worst security disasters of the past year, Paris and Brussels, I mean, NATO seemed powerless to prevent them. Yet now, as Sergey mentioned, they're focusing on Russia for some reason. So what's your comments on this?
See, NATO views trouble between Russia and nearby countries as a military problem. And they say they base these conclusions on the intelligence they collected. But I would like to refer to the events in Britain and not to the Brexit, but to Lord Chiltern's commission, which discovered that intelligence which led to British invasion in Iraq was flawed. Can't we have the same commission within next 5 or 6 years to prove that the present NATO information received from Baltic countries and Poland is also flawed. There is no proof of any military preparation by Russia on the borders of those countries. But as you have correctly referred, the main threat to Europeans' security, I mean to a common man's security, comes not from Russia, but from terrorists who were responsible for attacks in Paris last November and in Brussels last March. Surely it was not Russia. And NATO also showed that it is completely powerless in fighting those terrorists in Europe. Because some five or six Arab teenagers could have made the NATO capital, Brussels, fully scared. And where was NATO with all these nuclear submarines, missiles, and so on?
Mr. Ivashentsev, I think you're talking about the same thing, because I was also talking about losing sense of reality. But you mentioned two terrorist acts, Paris and Brussels. But I think we have to expand the list, because NATO is also boasting to care about how they describe its stability beyond our borders. Beyond our borders meaning non-NATO countries. And you've seen in recent days and weeks how many terrorist acts we see in Southeast Asia, in South Asia, Middle East. They're all known NATO member countries. And this is really mushrooming. And this should be addressed. It should be handled. And NATO is just making ritual statements that we should do that. But in practical terms, what they're doing is they're spending their presence in the close proximity to Russia's borders. That's what I'm saying. This is the credibility gap in what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely looks like that. And actually, I'd like to ask you real quick, Mr. Ivashentsev, about Poland's attitude. I mean, Sergei is definitely right. Hits the nail on the head again.
The place is very important.
Yeah, when he said that, you know, Poland is definitely one of the most hostile anti-Russian states, and, you know, the meeting's taking place in Warsaw. So what do you make out of this symbolism and the influence that Polish foreign policy has on NATO?
Now see, here I think we have a case when the tail moves the dog, you see, actually. Because originally, Poland and all those Baltic states were used by the United States to fan up this anti-Russia hysteria in Europe. And at present, it happens that this Poland and Baltic states are the leading force in NATO. And it is very characteristic that more serious European countries are quite unhappy with America's use of NATO to intensify military presence on pressure on Russia. And it is indicative that Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier of Germany calls the recent maneuvers in Poland, in which 14,000 American troops participated, just saber-rattling and war cries. In a clear rebuke to NATO, he added, "Whoever believes that a symbolic tank parade on the alliance eastern border will bring security is mistaken. We are well advised not to create pretext to renew an old confrontation."
Yes, it's a very poignant point. You know, we're going to bring another guest right now to kind of, you know, add to what you were talking about and flesh this out further, and that's Mr. Sergei Stankevich. He's an expert at the Anatoly Sobchak Foundation, which is an independent think tank. Hello, Mr. Stankevich. How are you today?
Hello, I'm fine. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. You know, we were discussing the influence that Poland has and, you know, this anti-Russian sentiment in Europe, but I want to ask you a question from the opposite angle. At the same time as this is going on, you know, we had countries like Italy talking about, you know, lessening, you know, anti-Russian sanctions and so on and so forth. But now it looks like with these aggressive moves, this is just all talk. What do you make out of the positive outreaches that some NATO member states were giving towards Russia in light of what's happening with this NATO summit?
Look, I was part of the Russian history, political history, during last 25 years. So I remember how it was from the beginning. We were told in the 90s, please be calm, be quiet, let us involve Eastern Europe, such countries as Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, into NATO. Let us involve such Baltic countries into NATO, and it will be better for everybody. They will be stabilized. They will feel themselves in a comfort, historic civilizational situation. So you will even have better relations between each other. You can cooperate. Everything will be stable and safe. But we see that even now, even when all the Eastern Europe is part of the NATO, we still have no stable situation. We still have new and new sources of conflict. And I think that it is a wrong decision to declare another stage of NATO military build-up in Eastern Europe, in Poland, in Warsaw, where some times ago the Warsaw Pact existed. And symbols is very important. Now, unfortunately, we feel that the situation is getting worse and worse for Russian liberals also, because we cannot explain why it's going like this.
Mr. Sankesh, you mentioned history. You were a part of political history. So don't you have a feeling that after demolition of Berlin Wall, what NATO is going to do can lead to erection of de facto existing Baltic Wall?
Yes, exactly. We see now like a new wall is under creation along the Baltic Sea shores. And I see no serious reason why to do it. We understand that the source of this new conflict is Ukrainian crisis. But it is situational and regional crisis that can and should be resolved by diplomatic actions. And we are very close to this final diplomatic solution. So we cannot understand why not to concentrate on diplomacy and why to have this new wall to be built along the Russian boundaries.
We're running a little bit short on time, Mr. Sankevich. I just have to go to another guest, so I want to thank you for sharing your insight with us and your professional experience throughout the years. Thank you very much. And right now we're bringing on Mr. Gabor Hovath as our next expert. He's a foreign editor at the Nevshabadzhag paper in Budapest. Hello, Mr. Horvath. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you. You know, we only have about a minute left, but I want to ask you about, is pragmatism still possible in Europe? I mean, I look at your country, Hungary, and it seems to be pretty pragmatic. It wants to have economic relations with Russia, working with Russia in the nuclear energy sector has been, I would say, at least, seems like a voice of reason. But at the same time, there are other countries like Poland that are really trying to just beat down that hammer and go as anti-Russian as they can. So can you just tell us a little bit about, real briefly, pragmatism in Europe, and is it still possible? Could Hungary be an example?
Well, certainly pragmatism is very much present in Europe, not only in Hungary, but in countries like Germany or France, as a matter of fact. But I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that Hungary, although did raise its voice to ease the sanctions on Russia, but still participates in all NATO activities from Iraq to the Baltics. It has sent fighter jets to patrol the skies in Lithuania. It is going to send troops into the joint international battalions of NATO, which is sent to the Baltic countries and Poland to strengthen the eastern frontiers of NATO. So there is a certain limit what Hungary can do to make sure that the relationship between Russia and Europe improves. Hungary is certainly a devoted member of NATO, and there is no change on that front.
Okay, well, you know, thank you very much for explaining that to us, but unfortunately, you know, we're just really all out of time with the program today, so I want to thank you again for coming on our program, Mr. Horvath. And, Sergey, just to wrap up real quickly, it seems like, you know, this NATO summit, I mean, it's more of the same old. NATO's continuing along the same trajectory. If anything, I'd say they're accelerating their aggression towards Russia. And in my forecast, things don't look good for NATO-Russian relations.
As I say, old is gold, but not always, and this is the case with NATO. I think that NATO is still having lack of the sense of the reality, but they will have to get probably more wake-up calls to raise to that reality,
yeah,
and to raise to real threats and challenges.
But I won't get my hopes up for that. Yeah. So we're going to thank everyone for participating, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Gleb Ivashintsov. He's a member of the Russia International Affairs Council and Russia's former ambassador to Myanmar and South Korea. Mr. Sergey Stankevich, expert at the Anatoly Sobchak Foundation, an independent think tank. And finally, Mr. Gabor Hovath, a foreign editor at the Nevshabadzhag paper in Budapest. Following in our program, we have Jihad International, A Bloody Ramadan, and Farewell to Emailgate, Welcome to the Oval Office. Stay with us.